so kept on trying. All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of Pillows and Beer. We're here right here, downtown Charleston at a share house.
Yeah, so special edition of Pillows and Beer. Craig, it is before noon.
That's never happened before.
No, we've never recorded a podcast this early. But like I said, special edition. We're with our great buddy Keith Benjamin of Uptown Social Group. What is it?
Uptown Hospitality Group.
Uptown Hospitality Group.
Wow, because we really nailed that.
Great.
Listen, listen.
Here we
because
go. Good start.
Because it's Uptown Social is right. a big bar here in Charleston. Anyways, so we're sitting at Share House, which is the new concept from Uptown Hospitality Group. And I mean, if you could see what I see, I mean, it is quite the spectacle. It is like it's three bars in one. It is like 100 yards long. I'm sure that you can, like, you know, correct me, but
we need to start doing our podcast from here, especially with all the garage doors open. Looks great. And obviously we're going to get into the history and how we got here.
Right. But right. So
I love 100 yards.
It's like a football field. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
I mean, 250 feet to be exact.
It is.
But I haven't Googled.
Divided by three it's less than a football field. So like, let's say that it's a football field.
That works
right.
For me.
Okay. Yeah. It makes it better. So
I'm kind of digging this. Like, I get shy, but there's no one in here right now. There's people at the bars next door, but I kind of like doing this outside of the house.
Yeah. I mean, look, so Share House, it is this beautiful space. As I said, if you've been to Charleston on a bachelorette party or if you plan on coming, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about when I say Uptown Social. It has exploded onto the scene like four years ago now.
Yeah, April of 2018.
April of 2018. And I met Keith through a mutual friend who reached out and was like, hey, my buddy's coming from New York, which we're going to talk about, you know, the tie-in to New York and Charleston. And he was like, and you got to go and check out his new space. And it was on Upper King Street, where if you've never been in Charleston, Upper King Street was a ghost town. Like, there weren't things on Upper King Street. It's all lower. And Uptown Social was kind of like the first spot up there. So when I went, I meet Keith and I'm like, what a great space. But I have no idea if this is going to work. And boy, was I just 1,000% wrong. It is like the spot to go for Sunday fun days. I bet that, honestly, you guys should get a commission probably from like one of the airlines, because how many people come in on Sunday with their luggage and then change their flight to Monday?
It's very funny you say that, because approximately 2 or 3 months ago, we made T-shirts that say change your flight.
Oh, that's
pretty
great.
With our branding all over it, because people come in on Sundays having been there, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You check into your Airbnbs, and most of which are right behind Uptown Social, and they're spending, you know, all this time there throughout the weekend. So they come down on Sundays, throw their luggage down, go up to the roof, and then full send mode,
and then lo and behold,
change their flight.
That's and then right before you know it, before you know it, and we've all been there. Craig and I are kind of the kings of this. We have tried to change our flights before. Remember Aspen? That was the last time that you and I tried to change, and it was like, it's a $1,500, you know, dollar change fee. And I was like,
and you start
doing
the math.
I'm like I don't know
that,
man.
That one only worked out because everyone fell asleep 2 hours after we left.
Yeah.
And we would have stayed for nothing. But that is not the case when you stay in Charleston.
Like, yeah, I mean, that does tend to happen sometimes though. It's like you're like, yes, I'm riding this high, and then like 6 o'clock hits or whatever, and you're like, shit, I just should have taken my flight. Yeah. But at Uptown,
and that's when the scaries set in, right?
Oh God, you got to run from the scaries. Yeah.
another kind of moniker we're going with here at Share House is the Sunday Sherries.
Oh, yeah. You should serve sherry wine
or an orange crush, which I know Craig likes.
Yeah. Okay, tell us what an orange crush is, just, you know, real quick.
I'd like Craig to talk about the crush, and we'll just talk about how we got it here. But okay. that's his drink.
Because I, speaking of changing flights, might be changing my flight today just to sit here and drink orange crushes. This might be my new, like, safe place. So an orange crush is, you use any type of orange vodka. I used to use Stolio. I know you guys use Smirnoff O.
Yep.
You crush a full orange. It's very important that you crush a full orange. If you've got a very special person across the bar, maybe you do an orange and a half. But then you do a little bit of triple sec. And then I used to hit it with a splash of soda and a splash of Sprite. A lot of people don't use the Sprite, any lemon lime soda.
Yeah, that's what we go with. And one of our longtime bartenders from New York, which we'll talk about shortly, came down here and joined the crew at Uptown Social about a year ago. And she had bartended in Dewey Beach
for
about 15 years.
Yes, obviously that's why.
You guys ever heard of the Crush? And I was like, what the hell's that? And
why we don't do it in Charleston is insane. Yes.
We do.
Oh, we're doing it here.
It's happening.
I actually started to go, I mean, I love Reds, but I started to go there because they had orange crushes and no one else did. So
Reds
I love
it. Awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
But I love hearing that you guys are doing it. I mean, then you can, your bartenders will kill you, but you can get into grapefruit crushes, you get into lemon crushes.
Yeah, we're standing our lane with one piece of fruit.
The most perfect summer drink. It just is. And they go down. Do you serve them in pint glasses?
We serve them in these branded plastic cups, which are great. And, you know,
they're like 14-ounce cups, Greg. Yeah. Uptown Social is known for
big drinks.
For big, girthy drinks and shots.
Biggest drinks, strongest drinks.
He's going to tell us is how they make money. So that's great. But no, I love seeing you guys doing the Crush. You got the mural on the wall. Mural. It's a weird word to say, but you got the mural on the wall of the
made of
crush.
Bottle caps. The orange crush.
Then we've got Austin's Trop Op in front of us for the first time in a while on pillows and beer.
I know. I was just telling Keith prior to the podcast, I was like, people reach out and make fun of us because our photo is Craig and I drinking rosé.
Sure.
And normally when we jump on here, we always kind of talk about what it is that we're drinking. And it's normally wine or rosé. You know, Craig's always crushing like a Bud Light. And so people are like, the podcast name is Pillows and Beer, and you're rarely drinking beer, and you don't have pillows in any of these pictures or podcast settings.
I think it's apropos because we hosted the kickoff party at Uptown Social for Trop Op.
Yes.
And that was
That was chaos.
That's chaos.
No, it was.
Me and Cameron came, remember?
Yep. Yeah. And
you guys almost got pushed down the back staircase.
We got locked into a corner, and people were taking pictures of us like we were like zoo animals rather than like a line, and it's no one's fault, you know, but
I always blame you.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know. How could you not know that it was going to be it was kind of humbling for you because you didn't expect that many people to come.
I mean, was in what, 2019?
It's 2019. We had DJ Natty Heavy when full party mode, and it was awesome. I mean, it was a really fun night.
And then everyone kind of showed up, and like Patricia was like trying to like, you know, walk through, and I was like, oh my gosh, you are going to get, you know, mauled.
We actually hosted a podcast from there too.
During the pandemic.
That was fun. Yeah. You guys were set up in front of the Social Butterfly, and there was no one else there, right? It was during the early on in the pandemic. Everything in Charleston was closed. And you guys are like, we are by ourselves. There is nobody here. And I'm in the background on the other side of the camera feeding you guys
drinks. Yeah.
As the guy that wasn't there.
You know, come on. But someone had to be there to let us in.
Right.
It's not like, you know, you left like a key under the mat and we were like, hey, we'll take care of this 10,000, you know, square foot space for you.
Right. That was fun. Watching you guys do that through the pandemic was something else.
Yeah, that was our roots. Well, Keith, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself real quick before we get into your...
And how you came to Charleston, because I love this.
It's kind of my favorite. This is a fun story. I came here in 2012 after getting engaged for the first time. There was a second time to a different woman. And came down here and decided to get married here. It was a destination wedding, originally from New York City, and having seen Charleston all over, you know, every magazine, all over the media, as being a place to get married, we just kind of felt like this was the spot, and came down, and as I like to do when I go to different towns, I was going to different bars and restaurants, and felt like that King Street was just totally ripe, and saw all of these people waiting on lines and waiting to get into these bars. And at the time, I was running a bar on the Lower East Side called Hair of the Dog.
Yeah, you guys have some famous bars.
Yeah,
in New York.
We have a big group, and you know, Hair of the Dog, 13 Step, Three Sheet Saloon, Off the Wagon, Down the Hatch, Stumble In, Jake's Dilemma, and the Gin Mill.
Austin, how many have we been to together?
I probably hit like, you know, five of those with you.
We
beer pong, right?
We stayed on the pong table for, I mean, hours one night, and ended up just blacking out at
What was that? Three sheets?
Yeah, it was three sheets. Yeah.
We were definitely three sheets.
I think anyone listening knows those bars from New York.
Yeah, they're just kind of iconic, dating back to 1991 when we opened Down the Hatch. But, you know, fast forward to 2012 and 2013 when I got married for the first time, came down, checked it out, and felt like...
Can you tell everyone where you're... engagement party was, or your welcome party, please.
I mean, we're not talking about that weekend specifically, but it was at a place formerly known as Sticky Fingers on Meeting Street, which you know had its time and its heyday.
Sure.
But round two was way better. We're happy to have Stevie and my now wife and little boy. But anyway, 2016, 4 years later, with a bunch of headwinds in New York City and. Payroll skyrocketing, rent skyrocketing. We felt like we needed to take the show on the road, and I pitched the idea of Charleston to my group. We came down here on a weekend in April, and I don't have to tell you guys, but April in Charleston is just absolute money. It's so much fun. There's so many people around.
The weather has just begun to change.
Yeah,
maybe like a month into the weather changing.
I kind of
the bridge run is in April.
I liken April in Charleston to like the best college visit, right? Like when you go and visit colleges.
That's fair.
As a junior, and you go to that school with a great campus, but it's a sunny day, and you're like, that's where I'm going to school. That for me, that was Penn State.
Yeah. See, that's actually God.
Yeah.
We could go in that direction, but I mean, how many college visits did I take? And it's so funny to look back on. And like, I went, and it was just the wrong weekend, and I was like, done.
I'm done
with that school forever. And then I went back.
I only did one.
Yeah.
I came here, spent a weekend in Charleston, and I was this is where I want to go to college.
And 15 years later, Craig is here.
Here we are.
Still here. Yeah.
So that was us in 2016. We saw all these lines, and that was a Saturday night. And on Monday, we saw Uptown Social for the first time, which was an absolute disgusting shell.
Yeah.
And there was 3 feet of dirt on the ground.
Huge
and there was
space.
Wires everywhere. And it was a massive space. And the kitchen and bathrooms was just open air. There was nothing there. And I looked at my business partner, Mitch, at the time, and we looked at each other, and we went upstairs, and we saw this potential for a roof deck, and we said, this is the spot.
Yeah, I remember seeing the pictures and just being like, how did you guys do? I mean, it's an incredible project that you did, but we needed it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still lines to bars now. I mean, there's just always going to be here. And you guys took like 1,000 people off the street, and there's still lines.
Well, our occupancy is 530, so it's definitely not 1,000, but maybe throughout the course of the night. But yeah, no, it was just we felt really, really good about it. And even at the time, Austin, you were saying Upper King was pretty desolate, and it was.
Now there's like the Hyatt is like right across the street,
Blue
and,
Green Hotel.
All of like Levis businesses like are up there too.
Sure,
just like
the furthest you used to go was when I was in college was the Dollar was even getting up there, and then we went to Midtown, which was Dispensary now,
right? And those guys do a great job. I mean, just it all connects, you know. And so for us to have that area of King Street now illuminated and vibrant and exciting, and to be able to really capitalize on all of the people who not only live here but are visiting every weekend with bachelor and bachelorette parties and weddings, and we have private space and the roof deck. It all came together to the point where we said, what's next?
But you started out as a bartender, right?
I did. I started it off the wagon on McDougal Street in New York City in 2006 as a barback. I was, humping kegs and ice and, closing the bar down at 4:30 in the morning. And
three of us did that, actually. Isn't that cool?
Being like a New York City bartender is just like, it just sounds out of pocket, because it's like, when do you close, right? It's like 2, 3, 4 sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
Sure. And then you close it down, and then you're having some drinks maybe with other bartenders, and then you don't get home until 5:30 in the morning. You're like
5:30 or 7.
What a ridiculous
or 8
lifestyle.
The trippiest part of that was all of my buddies out of school were taking finance jobs and waking up when I was going to sleep. And so I'd go to my apartment, and there'd be the coffee carts outside serving bagels and scones and coffee. And I'm like, this is totally.
Yeah. You're like, I'm about to sleep until two,
wake up, eat chicken wings, pizza, and drink beer, and then go back to work.
Which honestly is a great life.
For a period of time,
it's so fun.
But that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, Keith, is because for a period of time, I feel like my bartending days really shaped me and taught me a ton But you have to get out. Well, you don't have to, but a lot of people want to get out eventually. And somehow you went from bartender to now owning a couple of the most successful establishments in Charleston. So what was that kind of journey like?
Yeah, that's a great question, Craig. So I was really part-time bar backing and bartending at Off the Wagon until 2008 when the market obviously crashed.
And all your finance guys were like, hey, can we come
literally
work with
yeah.
you?
Yeah, and actually, funny enough, at the same time, Jared Freed, who you guys have had on the podcast, that's when he started comedy because he was working in selling life insurance. And so the very same time, wow. Yeah.
Good switch for him.
Yeah, yeah. He's good
extremely funny.
So at that time, I was working in sports marketing for an agency, and the agency went out of business. I ended up helping out these guys open the Stumble Inn, which is another great spot on the Upper East Side, which formerly was Moe's Caribbean. Put in my
when
time.
When you say
there.
Helping out, what did you just like?
So I went up there as one of the opening bartenders at the Stumble Inn in 2008 and started making really good money. To your point, Craig, my buddies were out of work and I felt like I had a good thing going. They asked me if I wanted to manage about 6 months in. And I told them I needed to figure out what I wanted to do and then go get a real job. Funny enough, here I am in 2022. This is my real job. I ended up really kind of staying the course. About a year later, I accepted that management position with the caveat that I'd be able to, at some point, pretty soon thereafter, be able to buy into the partnership.
Because you actually take a pay cut when you go to management in food and bev.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're behind the bar and you're sacrificing one of those big nights to be on the floor and coordinate what's going on. But I really went all in on that. And having truly gone to... You know, I touched on this, but having gone to Penn State, you go to CFC and Austin, Alabama. Those are huge schools, really fun, big party schools. And I felt like after going to Penn State and being a part of these tailgates and fraternity parties and playing lacrosse and being part of the social scene, I wanted that to be part of my life. And so I bought into the Stumble Inn in 2012. And then shortly thereafter, we signed the lease for Hair of the Dog on the Lower East Side and ended up opening Hair of the Dog and, you know, bought into a few more of our spots in New York City and the rest, as they say, is history. I mean, I really kind of wanted to carve my own path and Charleston was there.
Yeah. So let me put this in a perspective too. And I'm going to throw out some numbers here, Keith, and you can either like, you know, laugh at me or you can like, you know, nod and be like, actually, that's pretty spot on. So the success that Uptown has had, I just remember one time that you and I were talking, the number two seller of like Bud Light is Reds, correct?
Yes.
In Charleston, right? Yeah. And it was at like 10,000 cases a year.
Yeah.
The number one seller was Uptown at like 25,000 cases a year.
That's far above what the actual number is. Yeah. But you know, we're proud of our partnership. Being a beer guy, you're really putting me on the spot.
Hey,
we're proud of our partnership with Anheuser-Busch, and we know that you know, those guys, you know, put a lot of action behind their brands, and we're happy to sell them. I mean, Bud Light has been a horse for us in New York City for years.
Well, Bud Light's a horse for everyone.
It's a horse
right?
for everyone, yeah, but the, you go, you know, you go to
King of Beer.
You go to the Midwest, and it's a, you know, maybe a little bit more of a Miller Lite, or you know, a little bit more into Colorado. It's Coors Light, but here in Charleston, and specifically in our bars in New York, it's always been Bud Light, and you know, we sell a whole lot of it.
Craig, Keith does not sell Miller Lite at Uptown.
That's not true. Well, we do sell Miller Lite at Uptown.
Wait, what?
We don't sell Coors Light.
We're about to we're announcing a partnership with Bud Light. In like a couple weeks here.
Yeah. So my wife.
We met them at Uptown. Our first meeting with them was at Uptown.
Oh, yeah. Who? They're great. Southern Eagle guys?
Yeah.
I don't know. Jerry's
my distributor.
It, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, yes. And they also distribute my beer. So it goes hand in hand. So yeah. So I'm a Bud Light fan too. I promise.
Yes.
Right. And
no,
and,
I mean,
and Craig called me and was like, hey, I'm about to do this thing with Bud Light. Do you care? And I was like, no, dude.
Yeah.
No, I don't care. Like, I. We'll never compete with Bud Light, you know. It's just not.
We hope
happen.
You do at some point.
Hey, of course, you know,
or you partner with them,
or you partner with them.
Yeah.
All right,
or they buy me.
Quick break, everyone, and we'll be right back with Keith from the Uptown. We're never going to hospitality.
If you run an e-commerce business, you probably feel like it's about time people stopped treating e-commerce giants better just because they're bigger, and you're absolutely right. That's why ShipStation gives e-commerce sellers of all sizes access to the same deeply discounted rates usually reserved for Fortune 500 companies. No wonder ShipStation is already trusted by over 10,000. No wonder ShipStation is already trusted by over 100,000 sellers. Terrified of dealing with international shipping? Don't be. ShipStation makes it a breeze to ship anywhere around the world. So scale away, ShipStation can handle it.
Saving money while making shipping easier? It's a no-brainer. I mean, with all the money that we have saved by using ShipStation, especially in the beginning, I was able to start holding inventory, which was one of my main dreams. Instead of like sewing pillows every time they were ordered, we actually had pillows ready to go.
ShipStation doesn't just save you money, but that's a good place to start. You get deeply discounted shipping rates normally reserved for Fortune 500 companies. ShipStation works with over 45 carriers. Easily compare rates and delivery times to quickly find the best option every time.
Don't let the big guys keep all the good discounts to themselves. Sign up using promo code PILLOWSANDBEER for a free 60-day trial today at ShipStation.com and start saving with every shipment. That's two whole months of discounted shipping absolutely free. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in pillows and beer. ShipStation, make ship happen. All right, welcome back to this episode of Pillows and Beer. We're right here at the brand new Share House in Charleston, South Carolina, with our great friend Keith and my best buddy Austin, as always. Keith, I want to go back to how you made that transition from bartender and head bartender to owner, though, because it's great that that happened, but a lot of people listening out there is like, okay, so cool. They listen to their bartenders, which was smart because the bartenders know how to run a restaurant. But then you were like, oh, I want options in the next restaurant. Like, what was that process, that transition process like? And they were like, sure. Like, if you ever want to buy in, you're allowed.
Yes. Yeah, so the best kind of formula I can speak to is the formula that my partnership established back in 91, which, you know, at the time I was 8 years old. But, you know, really what Mitch Banchik and Michael Ash, who started our company, what they did was they created an expansion plan where as they grew and they brought people in to run their establishments, they offered equity to these individuals.
That's cool.
So that they weren't only there running the show until 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, but they were actually seeing the profits from the business. And so that started right from the get-go with these guys. And as they grew throughout, they made it known that if there were people that were to bust their ass and make it happen for themselves, that they could truly create a career for themselves in this group and within this group. And so it wasn't like, hey, someday I hope to, you know, get equity. I knew that there was a proven track record of a bunch of guys that came and women who came before me who had this opportunity. And so when the time came and I looked at my degree, which was in broadcast journalism, I went into sports marketing, and then 2008 happened and I started to go kind of full throttle with the bar gig. I knew that, you know, really to take that next step, that management and then partnership had to be in my future. Because otherwise it was, you know, what am I doing with my life, just pouring
and
drinks?
And talking about really fostering a culture of, like, you know, community and family, right? So sure. It's like when you go to Uptown, right, everyone that works there is, like, so proud to work there, right? They, like, love to work there and at Share House. And then, like, you know, they're wearing shirts for, like, you know, hair of the dog and whatnot.
Right.
And you have also done that here with, you know, a lot of bartenders and now, like, you know, managers and stuff are, like, in, you know, on the same track as you were and are now, like, you know, owners of a piece of equity of the company.
Yeah. And I mean, you nailed it, Austin, talking about culture. I played lacrosse at Penn State and having that kind of team atmosphere and really building that camaraderie was something that I walked right into when I joined this company back in 2006 as a barback, but certainly something that I wanted to take to the next level and cultivate as I went from, you know, off the wagon to the stumble in to then hair of the dog, where we had just this unbelievable cohesive unit. And when we signed the lease here at Uptown Social, I actually brought down Kara Graves, Bryn Kelly, and Kat Moore, all from Hair of the Dog, who were my hires there. And so that they came down here with me and then helped bring that culture to Uptown Social, which has now taken on kind of this whole new identity as the Uptown Hospitality.
So you had worked your way. So when you, just to get finish the gap to Charleston, you worked your way up through the equity you were buying in New York, became a manager, and then you got to a position where you were like, hey, I feel like we have a great, you know, some like a potential spot in Charleston and they just let you run with it?
Yeah, I pitched it to Mitch and Michael, who I spoke about before, and they literally, I didn't just say, hey, how about Charleston? I did research, and I more or less put a deck of information on their desk and said, this is how many people are moving to Charleston. This is how many people live in Charleston. This is how many people are visiting Charleston. And this is how many years Charleston has been the top destination on every list around the country. And they looked at me and, you know, with a more comprehensive look than that, but and presentation, they looked at me and said, let's go take a look. And within a week, we were on an airplane in Charleston.
I mean, it's brilliant. Given your employees skin in the game is a genius plan, and they just they already work so like hard to be a part of the team, the good employees, but yeah, I wish that I was mean, an option back
you know,
in my
once
day.
Again, it's just like it fosters that like, you know, family mentality and like being proud to work there. And that's just, you know, it's so important. It's like you can go to so many places and people are like, I just work here, man. Like
right.
I don't know, right? But you come here and everyone's like, I work here.
Yeah,
you know,
how many employees do you have?
That's true.
We now have 200 employees in Charleston.
Oh my gosh.
And what's crazy, guys, is like we look at the pandemic, right? Where everyone specifically in the Northeast was looking in the mirror every day and being like, what the hell am I doing with my life? Am I going to stay here? Am I going to stay in New York? Am I going to go to Westchester or New Jersey or Connecticut or whatever? Or do I just move south? And or do I even like what I do for a living?
And
or
everyone,
am I happy to work from home?
And everyone moves south.
And everyone moves south.
And
here we are loving what we do, right? We genuinely enjoy what we do every day. I wake up every morning. I can't wait to come to work. I can't wait to get it going again and talk to my team, whether it be here at ShareHouse and Bodega or down the street at, you know, up the street at Uptown Social. It's fun, right? And it's challenging, and we constantly push ourselves. And I always say, like, stay in your lane, compete with yourselves, and make sure that we are the very best version of ourselves, and the rest will take care of
it. I think Charleston's a great
example. Stay in your
lane,
Craig. That's a good... That is a good piece of advice, Keith. Stay in your lane.
Just call me Dr. Phil.
A perfect example of, you know, there's nothing wrong in certain cases of staying in food and bev and making it a career.
Right.
You know, in Charleston, it is one of the main careers is career food and bev people. And you're giving people a chance to even, you know, rise into business people, which is really cool, honestly.
Guys, the hospitality industry takes a huge beating. Just I think that there's such a negative connotation about doing this for a living. Unless you've made it really big, then, you know, what are you doing with your life? And what we've done here with our staff is show that whether you're, you know, a barback, an SA, working in the kitchen,
right,
you know, help the guy who helps clean the spot at night. I mean, there is tremendous value to every member of our organization. And we're really proud of the group that we've grown here.
I mean, trying to run a restaurant, I mean, obviously you're very lucky and you've had the group, you know, since 91, as you said, but like there's something to be said for that. When y'all moved and you opened, you already had like, okay, here's what we're doing. You know, on Wednesday night, it's like a bottle of wine and like a slice of pizza for, you know, X amount of dollars. It's like you had like a rough outline or a pretty damn good outline of like what you wanted to do to make money, right? It's like immediately you're like, look, we have like, you know, pre-made shots that are $3 all day, every day, done, right?
Yeah, or I mean, like, that's the formula that we've used in New York forever, having great promos and specials. Right. One thing that we really kind of underestimated, I'll be honest, when we came down here was the live music scene and the talent in which, you know, lies here in Charleston, whether it be live music or DJs. And when we came down, you know, we were used to having one or two DJs at our bars in New York, which were much smaller. And when we came down here at Uptown Social, we realized that not only did we need more than one or two DJs, we needed, you know, 50 plus acts a week.
Yeah, you can never be without like a musical performance here at a successful bar.
You can't.
You guys have upstairs, you have downstairs. Sometimes you have three DJs downstairs for the silent disco.
Which is tonight here at ShareHouse, actually.
You really hit in on
silent disco guy.
I know, you and I both.
Midnight City, you hit on. I mean, Midnight City is my favorite band.
They're just awesome. And David Charleston. Higgins, who I met right when I moved down here, he ended up playing my wedding. I mean, the second wedding. we just are really lucky.
What's going on this weekend? People coming down Memorial Day, so this will come out in 2 days.
Yeah, sure. I've gotten lots of DMs, Craig, of you.
Okay,
just a bunch of girls coming in town. You know, where should we go? This is your sign, guys. Like, Uptown Social will be bumping all weekend. Yeah.
And we haven't really touched on Bodega at all, which kind of launched during the pandemic. But I'll talk to that in a second. Specifically this weekend, we're throwing a big summer kickoff party Thursday night here at Uptown Social. I'm sorry, here at Share House. With DJs Dollar Menu and Seth G. If you have not seen Seth G,
is the best musician.
He's unbelievable. He plays the violin to all of these kind of top 40 hits. It's a sight to be seen. That's Thursday night. That duo also plays every Monday night at Uptown Social. And then we also have the Silent
Disco. That's not to be missed either, by the way. Yeah, any chance you get it. If Seth is playing on King Street, I'll walk into that bar.
Yes, that's awesome. And then we also have a Silent Disco on Thursday night. And then it's just full throttle all weekend long. Music, live bands, DJs, specials, Orange Crushes. And then Bodega, which is this crazy concept we came up with during the pandemic, and we launched out of Uptown Social.
But it's next door to where we're at right now.
Yeah, and it's iconic breakfast.
It's in the end zone of the football field.
The end zone of the football field is where it is.
Yeah.
But it's this iconic breakfast and lunch spot where the sandwiches, much like a New York City bodega, are these incredible bacon, egg, and cheese, Taylor ham, egg, and cheese, if you're from Jersey, and we have a lot of kind of southern twists on our sandwiches. An Italian sandwich, et cetera, et cetera. And then at night, Bodega turns into a really funky, cool cocktail lounge. And it's open 19 hours a day, 7 a.m. daily for coffee and breakfast. And it goes right to 2 a.m.
You can always get as I look around, I see there's multiple bars in this place. You can always get a drink at your establishments, which is crucial for Memorial Day. Because, God, we're going to have so many people in town. What are the do's and don'ts to getting in? Like, do you have any recommendations for getting into Share House Bodega Uptown this weekend when they should come?
Because there will be a line guaranteed every single evening at
both of these guys, spots. I'll be honest. I mean, you know, it's not rocket science. You show up a little earlier, right?
Yeah.
And if you show up a little earlier, which I would say, you know, 9 o'clock is kind of that sweet spot, you can avoid the line. But you start getting here after 9:30,
and that's plenty early. Yeah. I mean, that's plenty. Like. Early.
Nine.
You don't have to get
nine's
there.
Early.
That's what I mean.
I don't know.
If you're good,
to me,
nine,
I'm a nightlife guy.
Seven.
Yeah, you should
come in at seven and just let it ride.
Yeah. Don't leave.
Which are always like the best between nights.
You can bar hop between Share House and Bodega.
We're just gonna call the football field for now.
Yeah. It takes up three quarters of a city block.
We're on one of the we're like banging on the end zone door.
We are,
which is where we're sitting.
This is the red zone.
We're in the red zone. We're in the red zone right now. Yeah.
And then so downstairs, because I know early on, upstairs at Uptown's a little less capacity than downstairs. Have you worked? So it seems that downstairs is the same vibe as upstairs, but I like kind of moving around and switching it up.
Yeah. So during the pandemic, we took some time and kind of figured out what we wanted to do with that downstairs, because it's such a great dining space, and we have that great pizza, which you guys have had before.
Bleecker Street.
The Bleecker Street pizza. We brought Anthony Falco, formerly of Roberta's, and now kind of the top pizza czar on earth.
Guys, this guy's job is to go and teach people how to make dope pizza. Yeah. Like, how sick
it's
is that
pepperoni,
job?
Jalapenos, and this ranch sauce.
Follow Millennium Falco on Instagram, because the guy's a wizard. I mean, he's a pizza wizard. If there ever was one, he's the guy.
And then he rolls in and he's like, you got to make the crust like this.
And then he's like, you guys name the pizzas whatever the hell you want, but I'll show you how to make them.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So it's a great
job, Craig.
It's a great dining space during the day. And then we've transitioned into just an awesome nightclub at night. And I use the word club loosely, because we really pride ourselves on being a bar. And not being, a stereotypical club. But we have many components of that. And we put in a massive video wall during the pandemic. And we built out this great stage area. And we started to bring DJs down from New York, New Jersey, the metropolitan area. We've flown in this guy, Austin James, from Vancouver. And then we have our local guys who are just unbelievably talented, from DJ Boogie, DJ Eclipse. I said Dollar Menu, Seth G, Sparkbox.
Isn't he?
Who's that?
Isn't R-Dot?
R-Dot has been doing some other stuff. But
oh, yeah, that's true.
Natty
Heavy is awesome. He's more of a wedding guy. You should follow him on Instagram.
A club in Charleston, a lot of times, is like, you want to go dance.
Right.
Like, we don't have typical clubs, but I always tell people that are looking for a club to go to Uptown, because you'll find the DJ. You'll find join the dance.
I mean, can we just call like a spade a spade? The amount of times that Keith has texted me after like a big night and been like, hey, buddy, you can't like lean your head underneath and just like, you know, open up like a beer spout. Like, right. I know that, you know, we're buddies, but like, this is not your personal playground. Like,
or take off your
sorry.
Shoes.
Yeah. I'm right. sorry, man. Right. Sorry. Right. I just have like yeah. so much fun. It's like, I start to like, you know, waltz around like do, do, do.
It's like we have like a dress code and like rules of admission on the door. And it's like, that's for everyone. And then there's Austin's rules. and Austin just makes those up as he goes along.
Yeah. So. You guys have been very gentle.
Yeah. We've had some discussions, some Monday morning quarterback discussions, yeah. if you will.
Yeah, so, we've had some huddles.
Yes.
We've had some huddles yes. where it's like, hey, you can't do this and you can't do that. And
I believe you've given out some apologies the next day.
I have apologized to you before.
Yeah. I definitely
not
have.
To, not to Kara. Me, but to Kara.
Yeah. To Kara, to yeah. McKenzie. Whoever is managing yeah. that night.
I've like, my cards have not gone through
oh my God.
And had to drop off like cash.
My shoes. You know, I think we had my Craig on credit thing. For like 3 weeks.
I was up to like $500-$600 yeah. and I had lost my wallet and they just... You guys let me come in, and eventually I just settled up with you yeah. guys at the end of the week.
Yeah. yeah,
it got to the point where, like, I had to bench myself. Okay, we're just talking, like, you know, football. Yep. So yep. I benched myself, and I was like, man, Charleston King Street will get you. Like, it will get you, which I think is why Craig and I try to be on the move as much as possible right. because Charleston King Street can be very, very
well,
dangerous, especially
photo,
when...
Like, the photo ops, which are great, and you actually know the importance of an Instagram wall, but you have the photo thing in the front of Uptown.
Yep.
And then you've got Instagram opportunities all over here. And to like wrap up right before a commercial, just this little share house thing, breakfast and lunch. Are you guys open? Bodega's open every day of the week?
Every day of the week at 7 a.m. And then share house opens 4 p.m. Monday to Wednesday.
But we can go to breakfast at Bodega and stay.
Yeah. You can go full send till 2 a.m.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Pace yourself.
Yeah, it's dangerous because
eat and drink responsibly.
Because then you're over at Bodega and you're getting like a bloody or whatever. And the thing is that Charleston doesn't have any brunch spots. Well, maybe like, you know, one or two that are available other than the weekend, right? So it's like you can come here and it's like it's, you know, like you could treat it like a brunch spot if you wanted to on like a Wednesday, right? So it's like if you're on a bachelorette party and you get in early, like you come here on a Thursday because no other places really have brunch until Saturday, Sunday, and maybe even just Sunday. And so you come here, you know, bloodies, mimosas.
And I give our chef,
you know, some coffee.
Our chef Alex so much credit because, you know, the employee shortage worldwide is a real deal thing. And there's a reason why certain places are not open all the time. And Alec has made a commitment to finding the staff we need to be open 7 days a week at 7 a.m. and make sure that we're putting out that breakfast
that
and lunch
impressive.
Daily.
That yeah. is impressive, too. Yeah.
And, okay, that's amazing. Well, that sounded rushed. It's not rushed. But when we come back, we are going to give you our takes on the perfect Charleston weekend, give you some recs of what we're doing, you know, when we're not at these bars. Just a perfect Memorial Day in Charleston, which you guys ask us all the time. So we will be back shortly.
All right, everyone, what's going on? Welcome back to this very special episode of Pillows and Beer. I'm joined by my best bud, Craig Conover, Craigie C. And we are at Share House, downtown Charleston, with our very good buddy, Keith Benjo, Keith Benjamin. And
nicknames now.
And we are just, you know, riffing, just kind of talking about business and kind of picking Keith's brain on... how he rose the ranks to become a successful entrepreneur from the North. It doesn't happen that often where a Yankee comes on down and makes good in Charleston.
If you could make it here, you can make it anywhere.
There's two of us right. at the table. I'm yeah, here we go. Yankee too.
Here we is go. That like the new thing? If you can make it in Charleston, you can make
no,
it anywhere.
If you can make it in New York,
if you can make it in New York. Yeah, right.
That makes yeah. sense.
You ever hear the song New York, New York? Frank Sinatra.
Who's that? Yeah, that's, just some that's, guy
that's
with
for,
a
that's
with
for
a,
another day
with an angel's voice. I think I've heard of him.
I'd say good old Yankee game, but I'm a Mets guy, so.
Well, we've talked a lot about...
You're also Rangers guys.
So. Big game tonight.
Big game tonight.
Should we talk about you chirping me? No, let's not do that.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Sure. Keith went to Raleigh just recently, right? The Rangers
yeah.
are playing the Canes.
Yep.
Me being from Charlotte, I am a Hurricanes guy.
Which is not Raleigh.
I'm not a diehard... Okay. Keith, which is... And... Okay.
So
and,
go on.
Well, all the pro sports teams... North Carolina, Keith, come on. I have to say, like, you know, the obvious. It's it's just like a different. So all the pro sports teams are in Charlotte, right?
Sure.
Except for the Canes, and it just is what it is. So anyways, I chirped Keith, and I was like, get the fuck out of Raleigh, buddy, after we beat them on game one. And Keith got salty. He started chirping me. I only said one thing to you.
He also said that right after the sudden death overtime game winner, and then approximately 36 seconds later, Austin texts me as I'm in a cab escaping from PNC Arena, to which my response was something along the lines of, please refer to Craig's Instagram where you have a Capitals jersey on March 29th with your name on the back.
So your finger was just on the trigger waiting to send it to him.
Yeah. Perhaps.
And then, that's and a good
like,
comeback.
When you get free jerseys and free tickets,
what are you supposed to do?
Right. So big Caps guy over here.
Would I wear another jersey? Let's think. Yeah. Well, no. I don't know.
No, you are a Caps fan. Yeah. Not if it's like, you know, your arch rival, right? But it's like, you know, the Caps. I was born in D.C. It was like the very first professional sports game that I ever went to was a Caps game. So when we were going to D.C. and they reached out, I was like, this is kind of perfect and really cool. They personalized a jersey for me, Keith. What am I going to be like? Sorry, Caps. Nah.
I challenge LSU to get Austin a jersey for this coming
that
football
season. That would never. Okay, that's different. Never happen.
They'll put his last name on it, give it to him for free.
See,
here we go.
Keith is still salty. I'm like really loving it. Keith is still salty. And game four tonight, bud. Are we going to watch together?
Would you like to?
Sure.
Stevie's out of town.
I like just won a bunch of money on
not that Stevie
the Rangers
wouldn't want you to join us. She would love that. But she's
Stevie's out of town.
Too.
So yes, okay.
So come watch with Robbie and I.
Let's
Austin's gut's kind of hot because we went. That sounded weird. But we
Craig,
lost. Every
I really
bet.
Haven't focused on my diet, so thank you.
We lost every bet for the PGA Championship, but Austin towards the end because we. It was a unique way of putting in our bets, but we Austin's like, dude, I'm just saying, like, JT's been hot. And I was like, fine, fuck it. Like, let's put $50 on JT to win.
No, $50 on JT to be a top 10, a top five, and a winner.
And I thought we had lost all our bets. And then Austin texted me on Sunday because I wasn't watching once DJ got kind of fucked up. And he won, and I looked at my account, and it was like, you know, plus a lot.
Let's give everyone on the listening right now a piece of advice. And that piece of advice is, if you come to Charleston and you see Austin and I out watching a game,
do not jump on our wagon. Do not jump on our wagon.
Bet against both of us.
Keith and I lose every bet that we've ever put in together. That's,
Stevie,
that's
my
sure.
my wife has consistently started betting against us, and
no way,
it's like 6-0.
That's
dude.
Amazing.
Keith and I lose every bet together.
Yep. That's really funny, actually.
Yeah. But I did win money on the Rangers on.
That's great.
The other night, because I was like, there's no way that Carolina goes up 3-0. And lo and behold, I was right.
Oh, you bet against your own team, too. God, Austin's all over the board.
No, look. It was a plus.
His own team. I have air quotes up.
Look, I took them at plus 1.5. Yeah. So if the Canes would have won by one, dude, the other night, I took them at plus.
I can't call you a diehard.
At plus 1.5. And then we score on an open net with 1.8 seconds left. Oh, my God. I'm a man with multiple homes, Keith.
Right,
I'm allowed to root for the Canes. You know what?
You are a man with multiple homes.
I don't know who I'm rooting
for. This weekend, right?
Yeah, true.
Oh, yeah, you guys are going to.
Yeah, so we are going to give you recs for what we would do on Memorial Day weekend. Unfortunately, I will not be in town, and neither will Craig.
Well, you
and
know.
Neither will Keith, actually, because Keith is coming out to my parents' new house on Seabrook on Saturday
still,
with the family.
That's still Charleston activity.
And I'll be here the other parts of the weekend. Yeah. But there's a lot going on.
I will be possibly in the Bahamas.
In Charleston, you're
God
saying,
like
in general. In
Charleston, yeah. Yeah. This is one of the best weekends of the year in Charleston.
And it's before it's too hot, which the heat doesn't. I mean, whatever. The heat shouldn't keep you from coming, but it's just some months are better than others, and this month is going to be great. So, perfect Memorial Day. If you get into town, let's say on like Thursday afternoon, what are you doing?
That's so it's funny because I just had some friends reach out, and I said, oftentimes if you're staying kind of on that strip of Spring and Cannon Street, which is where most of the Airbnbs are.
A lot of people stay. Yeah, on Spring
I
Street.
Always say, and I don't say this selfishly, but I do because I'm on this podcast and I've been given the platform. The rooftop, the rooftop at Uptown Social would be a great spot to start.
Yeah, it just I feel like when I get into town anywhere. I'm like, okay, let's like go find a good spot with a good roof and in this case, I mean, we have a great roof at Uptown. And so you definitely should just go and get a couple cocktails. And that's like a good place to like feel out.
And there's not a lot of rooftop bars. A lot of people don't know that when they get to Charleston, there you can count them on one hand, the rooftop bars in Charleston.
Yeah, there's like Stars, there's Vendue.
Yeah.
There's
Citrus Club over at the Dewberry.
Club, yeah. Right, right.
And Marketplace Pavilion.
Yeah. Marketplace Pavilion. I mean,
there's not many.
I haven't been to Marketplace Pavilion and I can't tell you how long.
It's
because
it chose to stay closed during quarantine too long.
Yeah. And so, what I would do, guys, when I would get here on a Thursday, and if I were here the whole weekend, especially if I were staying at a house, my first stop would be to go to Uptown and get a couple cocktails, maybe a pizza, and then I would go over to Graft Wine Bar. And I'd have a glass of wine, and I would stock my house with all the wine from their place. Because you guys are big wine drinkers.
Yeah, Graft is great.
And I think their selection's awesome. And Femi and Miles are the owners. And
yeah,
they're
I went to college
around.
With Femi, actually.
Definitely.
He's such a good guy.
Definitely one of their support to, local entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Such as Femi.
Yep.
Would not have gone that route. Would not have thought that you were going to go that route. But I'm not walking distance to that.
I live right around the corner.
So literally.
And what's the coffee shop right there? They're great. Didn't they come see us at the podcast tour?
Or Harbinger.
No, the Daily.
Yeah, the Daily's both. Both are great.
Yeah, it was the Daily.
Yeah, they're great. That's a great little breakfast spot, too. Yeah.
Were they in Atlanta, maybe?
Yeah, they do have a spot in Atlanta. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe that's
where they are. And then on Thursday night, you can pop all over. Thursdays are my favorite night. So, Austin and I love Dispensary, too.
So, Midnight City is usually at Dispensary on Thursday night.
If you can see Midnight City.
Yeah. Okay.
They're here on Sunday, but,
Most of, the going out foot traffic, they're, it's funny because when you leave Uptown and you're walking to Dispensary or vice versa, you see a lot of your friends that are passing you. And then it's hey man, how was Uptown? It's great. We're just going over here though to check it out and vice versa.
Yep.
And people walk back and forth between the two. It's too funny.
Yeah. Shout out to their bandmate that just passed away. But Midnight City's great. Seth's great. I would do... So Friday, Thursday bar hop, and then on Friday,
let's not sleep on a David Higgins song or two over at Cocktail Club.
Yeah, Cocktail Club's great.
Yeah,
well, David Higgins is just an incredible musical artist.
I feel like if you're coming into town, you need to get some oysters at some point, right? So it's you go get a cocktail at the rooftop.
You
go get oysters.
I would say if you can hit the Darling is like a 4 p.m. open, and that's right in the
and
mix.
It's a beautiful people watching spot too.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have done many
wide open glass. Yeah, we've done many times there, and you can people watch like crazy. I mean, their raw bar is right there. Right on King.
Yeah, you can visit my store right after or right before.
Yes,
right
that's
next
true.
To the store.
Yeah, right there.
Well, I mean, Raw has the best oysters in my opinion, but I would hit it during the day, Raw 167, and you gotta go put your
it's
name
closed
in
on
for
Sundays,
2 hours.
By the way, folks, it's closed on Sundays, so there is no
put your name in there and then go have wine and cheese at Bin 152 while you wait for your table at Raw.
We did that recently.
Literally just did that. Yeah. We literally did that last
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Here, Friday, I'm going to switch it up a little bit, and it's stupid to keep giving out this blow. I hope this spot doesn't blow up, but fuck it. They deserve it. But Friday, I would do a Shem Creek day on Shem Creek.
Yeah.
Craig, you're not really
I'm not blowing it. I know.
I don't think Shem Creek's
new. You're not busting the bubble here, pal.
I know. But
that's where you want to drink on the water.
Start at Tavern and Table.
Yeah,
it's the most chill, calm spot there. Then work your way over to Red's, which I like to say to people that come to the store, it's like trashy local, and I love that. You can get crab legs, orange crushes. The only other place that does orange crushes.
Really, they do.
Yeah.
Do they juice it?
Yeah, but they'll kill me for telling everyone this. And then walk over to Saltwater Cowboys, is owned by Naomi, and that's kind of the party spot. If you're looking for a party, you go there. But Reds is
a party
Reds
too.
Is my favorite. It's Reds just party. Different.
They have great DJs. DJ Boogie, who plays here quite a bit, plays Saltwater on Saturdays. It's a great spot.
Look at the shrimp boats. Outer Banks is filmed there. Go look at the dolphins. It's pretty.
There's that
awesome.
One boat that goes back and forth with all the golden retrievers.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wait, what boat is that?
You've seen it before.
Play a little tiny motorboat.
Yeah. So that would be my Friday day activity. And then I don't know what I would do after that. I guess go home and shower.
So I would go home, shower. I would make sure that you have a reservation somewhere. And if you don't, I'm going to throw a sleeper out there. You guys are going to laugh.
No, we love sleepers.
The sleeper would be Santi's.
Oh, Santi's is great. Yep. We love Santi's. Yep. And I love Santi.
And you don't need reservation. You love Santi. You love Javi.
We do need places to... Yeah, Javi's awesome. Yep. We do need places to go if you don't have a reservation. I get asked that all the time, yep. And I just... I never know what to say.
Santi's.
Okay. So okay. It's an amazing old school Mexican joint.
Yeah. It's authentic as heck. And like... Yeah. All the guys there are pretty much from Mexico, and
the chips and salsa are so good.
It is. It's the best salsa in town.
So if you don't have a res, go to Santi's, drink some Marg.
Where else can you go to Lights?
I know this is exactly what I think that you and I should answer to. Where to go if you don't have a res?
I would say Mex One on Sullivan's.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Sullivan's is a whole nother day with like Home Team, Mex One and stuff. Downtown, where can you just pop in for a bite to eat?
Moe's Crosstown.
Jeez.
Guys, I'm going off the reservation.
Yeah, you're going off the rails here.
I mean, I like that.
I mean, dude, never. Don't
but
tell
if you're
that
stuck,
spot.
I know.
Don't tell that spot.
If you're
spot,
stuck
that
on King
unfair.
Street, though, this is why this is a tough question.
Yeah. Guys, I mean, if you're stuck on King Street on Memorial Day weekend without a reservation, then you
and
should
like,
come. Then honestly, come to Uptown Social and get
uptown,
a pizza.
Yeah, get a pizza at Uptown. Yeah. And come to ShareHouse.
Get sliders at ShareHouse.
Because if your group is like 9 or 10 people, that's the thing that kills me. I'm like, it's where can
size.
You go to get food without a resi on a Friday night?
We can accommodate. We're big enough to do that. But, you know, we don't take reservations.
Rue de Jean? Rue de Jean could be a good one.
I love Rue de Jean.
I do too. You don't, Keith.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and throw shade.
Right.
I think
they
their
ebbs
muscles,
and flows.
Their muscles are really good.
Ebbs and flows.
Bomb. Their
ebbs
muscles
and flows.
Are really good.
Bomb.
Another hangout that would have food for people. It's tough.
Yeah.
You just kind of have to pop in. Oh, what's the wine place across Cork across from Sewing Down South is a good little lunch spot.
Really?
Oh, you know what? Have you guys been to...
Uncorked.
What's the new place?
I've never been.
Oh, Rarebit. Rarebit's fucking great.
Rarebit's great. You been to Bedford Falls yet?
No, I haven't.
Bedford Falls
what
has
an interesting
exceptional
name.
Where is
food,
it?
And there are a couple New Yorkers.
Sounds like a hotel.
It is across the street from the Elon.
It's
which
a town.
Is, and
it's
the
a
Hyatt.
Town, and it's a wonderful life.
Yeah, it's on Meeting Street right off Spring, and those guys are two dudes from New York City, Upper East Side. They have a bar there, and their food's great, and it's relatively
small. Throwing out Rex's fellow New Yorkers.
I haven't been to Franny and the Fox yet. Okay, favorite barbecue in Charleston?
Lewis.
Okay.
Yeah.
But best atmosphere
home
and
team's
barbecue.
Great.
Home team.
So
oh, Home
fun.
Team downtown, another place that has a lot of size
to it. True.
Yeah. Home team,
like
you can go
if
eat
like,
there if, without
if,
reservations.
Yeah. If like you're not trying to get, you know, if you're not trying to get all fancy, it's like you get wings, you get some brisket, you get a game changer.
And if you're over in that neck of the woods, Edmund's Oast can't be.
Yeah,
can't,
Edmund's can't Oast be is good.
And by the way, those guys are bringing in so many incredible out-of-state beers, and they brew all their beer in-house.
Right.
But they're... You and I are big fans of Maine Brewing and Maine Beer Company.
Yep.
And they brought lunch and dinner on tap recently.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, so are there any
breweries? I haven't been there in ages, man. I used to go there all the time.
Edmund's Oast is
all the time.
You and I used to go to happy hours there.
Yeah.
Would that count
because
as
it was
like,
arguably one of the best happy hours in town. They have like a $4 menu.
Yeah.
And it was like a mini burger.
That was pre-pandemic.
A mini like you
I don't
know,
even
catfish.
Know if they do that anymore.
Edmund's Oast also delivered wine during the pandemic.
They did it really well.
So does that count as a brewery or is
there? Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, there is EOBC, Edmund's Oast Brewing Company, which is at the old workshop.
Can you go to Palmetto?
You can go to Palmetto.
Can you taste your beer at Palmetto Brewery?
All three beers on tap at Palmetto.
Revelry always has a great Saturday party.
Oh, Revelry's a great sleeper spot. Yeah. That's a local spot.
With a rooftop.
And then right next door now, this is kind of like a low-key creep spot. This is another kind of...
Kicking chicken?
Okay, so obviously not kicking chicken, but... Well, actually not, obviously.
Good wings?
They have this thing going on.
Yeah.
You have the garage door set up.
Yeah.
And it also goes down the whole row. And at the end, there's a pizza and oyster bar.
Coast, right? Crust.
Crust. I don't remember. But it's right next
crust,
to Revelry.
Maybe.
I think it's crust.
No, it is crust. It is crust because it's the same
that
one.
That whole area is, it's what's it called? The neck? I can't remember.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The neck's building out.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Saturday, I'm going to add this to my day around like 6 or 7, I would go to a River Dogs game.
Yeah,
just to switch
that's fun.
It up.
It's very fun.
Switch it up.
It's, you know what? Have a minor league baseball game in any town in America is just a hoot.
It really is.
My dad would say. It's a hoot.
I really want to go to the Savannah Bananas game.
Yeah,
I really want to go to the Savannah Bananas game.
Let's do a road trip for that.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Them on Instagram look like they're having the most fun in the country.
But then, I mean, you just can't beat, like, an uptown night because up. Look, the deck is going to be crazy,
off the charts.
And yeah, it's going to be like the DJ club scene. But then downstairs, you have a little bit more room, but it's just as fun. And it's like a 100-foot bar, so you can always get a drink. So.
Yeah, so kind of at Uptown, we have a DJ that starts at 3 p.m. and then plays till 11 on the roof, a few different DJs. And then because of the noise ordinance, we shut the music down outside, and then the music moves inside to one of our event spaces upstairs, and then we have a headliner DJ downstairs that plays in front of the video wall. That starts at 11 o'clock, but with live music kicking the night off at 8 downstairs. So
what about outside?
Outside... at Uptown?
In the alley, yeah.
We don't have that anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, gotcha. we lost that after the pandemic, but it was a great addition for a little bit.
Look, and I'll throw it out there. If you can't get into Uptown, First Place is a great bar right across the street. It's a kind of a smaller sports bar. They've got a good kitchen, and you can get a good cheesesteak. I mean, the overflow over to First Place is pretty good.
The overflow to First Place, you know, works.
It does.
It works.
It does.
It's a good location.
Yeah, or you can even pop in real quick before you're ready to, like, party. But anything you do, fortunately, Charleston doesn't have too many tourist spots or tourist traps, right? Everywhere you go, you're going to get a good drink. You're going to get good food for the most part.
And the town is built on service.
For the most part.
For the most part. So really, everybody's job here, especially on these holiday weekends, is to give good service. Now, I will ask everybody that's listening to please respect the fact that it's going to be a really busy weekend. And generally speaking, it's really busy in Charleston all the time. So these guys are all working their butts off no matter where you go, and just have a little bit more patience than maybe.
Well, and being an asshole here doesn't fly. Not that it flies a lot of places, but people come down from the north and they're just like, it takes them a second to be like, get used to our pace and get used to like how nice everyone is. Right. And it's like, okay to be nice. And
it's okay to be nice.
Do you have any folly recommendations?
Remember when you and I went to watch basketball out there on Austin and I went to watch March Madness on Folly. We went to Snapper Jacks.
Oh my god!
And we were on the rooftop, and it was 52 degrees out.
So then we had to go and buy the hoodie,
right? Folly Beach hoodies.
Yeah, I got thrown out.
Tie-dye hoodies.
Yeah, it was great.
I got thrown out of Snapper Jacks.
No, Folly's a blast. You just bar hop there. All the bars are fun. Blue's fun on the beach.
I haven't been to Folly in so long.
If you were to ask me, I would say personally, like, if you want the on the beach experience, there's nothing like the Windjammer.
Windjammer's probably my favorite beach bar.
The opposite direction, IOP.
Yeah.
Windjammer. And I know that there are concerts there this weekend. So
Then Sullivan's, which is it's not the same beach, but it's 10 minutes away.
I mean,
it's
can't really give any recs there, Craig, because it's one road and there's just like five bars.
If you
want
to see Shep, go to Sullivan's.
Yeah, go to Mex One.
If you want to see me, usually I'm on Shem Creek and then Austin's downtown.
Yeah.
But Austin and I are usually together. But and then you guys are doing a little different. You're going to go out to Seabrook, also known as the Kiowa area, people to have a cookout?
Well, my parents just moved there, and you know, my sister's coming in town tomorrow night with her boyfriend, and so it's just like a family affair out there. And then and then Keith is going to come out there with his family on Saturday?
Saturday, yeah.
Potentially stay the night, and it'll just be a good old time.
It's a little slice of heaven. Seabrook's a little slice.
Yeah,
it
really is. I'm super excited to see their house, too, and see what they've done to it, and it'll be a blast. So I'm probably going to go out there Friday and play golf with my dad and my other buddy, out there, and then you're going to come on Saturday and basically just kind of have like a family weekend.
Austin, I just had a flashback to the last time we did something with your parents. We played a morning round of golf, and we were playing well. We were playing on Cougar, I think, in Kiowa.
Yeah.
And at the turn, it started torrentially downpouring. And your parents, without even skipping a beat, were like, we are out. We are so done with this.
And Keith was like, take it or leave it.
I don't know, maybe we'll play.
Wanted to keep going. Yeah. I was like,
and you're like, dude, it's not like we're from the Midwest. We can play here whenever we want. And then I said, good point. Let's shut it down.
It's a hard course to walk away from.
Yeah.
What about hotels? Everyone has a different kind of opinion on this. I personally, Dewberry's my favorite hotel here.
But it can be very expensive.
That's true. The hotels have shot.
Randomly on some nights, you're like, all right, well, $800.
If your company's
paying for it, that's expensive as shit for Charleston.
I mean, I can't say I've stayed in too many hotels here in Charleston, but we did a staycation in February, and we stayed at the Bennett and had just the most incredible experience.
Well, that's also another very expensive hotel.
It is.
But they do it right.
I like the restoration. I like the restoration because a rooftop that we didn't mention was the Watch.
Yeah.
And the watch for me is great. It's got a great view of the city.
Restoration is a different route, and it's hotel great. Is great. It's a little different area of King Street.
Yeah, it's like, it's, you know, Lower King Street where you shop and
it's actually where Whitney's like house was, or apartment was, season one, for those long-time fans out there.
That area.
That building.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, never mind.
No, I don't.
Wait,
think
what
so.
Is that building called? It doesn't matter.
That's the Restoration Hotel.
What I would say is follow along. You know, if you're not visiting this weekend and you're coming down the line, follow along. Explore Charleston. They have a great Instagram account, and they're the ones who really support all of these new hotels popping up. And we're lucky. I mean, as a business owner here in Charleston who wants more and more people to come down here and visit, we're fortunate that that the mayor and council and Explore Charleston continue to be proponents of the expansion of Charleston.
Also, like, the Hampton Inn is where my parents always stayed. Yeah. Right?
Or the Hyatt across from
away.
Uptown.
Yeah, Hampton Inn's great. The Hyatt. I mean, we've got not plenty, but there's a lot of just affordable regular hotels that you would be like comfortable with and know, like Hyatts, Hampton Inns. I do staycations at the Harbor Club on Shem Creek. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's like a great our Charleston Harbor Resort.
With the pools and the hot tubs.
Yeah, and you could take boats right up to that. Yeah. You and I did that once. You met me there, and you jumped on that boat.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Airbnb-wise, if you were coming for a bachelorette or a bachelor party or just a group event, any of the Spring Street places, you know, shout out to the inns, too. But you're going to be right in the heart of all of the places we're talking about. There's a cool Airbnb above Sohnyan South, which people love. But anywhere on King Street, you're going to be great. I know we've kind of neglected the market in this podcast. It's just because things have migrated more to the King Street.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time on the market, you know, in college and stuff. And history-wise, that's where you're going to want to walk around. There's the oldest liquor store in the country. The oldest brothel is Rainbow Row.
Talk about a wreck. I mean, Austin, one of our favorite haunts is Mac's Place.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Which is just a great old school Irish pub. The guy, Mac,
Garrett.
Garrett's from Chicago. It's a great Chicago bar. It's awesome. It's a great bar.
It is in every sense of the word, a drinking bar. Yeah. I used to bartend there when I first moved here on Monday nights for, you know, two years or so before I went to Palmetto. And it's just like a drinking bar through and through.
Yep.
My dad and I actually just popped in there while my mom was shopping at the market. And then there's a new beer garden where Bubba Gump's used to be, which was kind of cool.
That's right.
They have live music there in the market now, too.
Yep.
So, and go see the Battery. Some of the houses down there still have cannonballs in, like, the roof or the attics from the Civil War, which is pretty wild.
And I'll say, guys, you know, don't sleep on Charleston as a whole Sunday fun day. It's just, on a holiday weekend especially, this town just doesn't sleep. And it goes and it goes and it goes. And there's music everywhere. There's food everywhere. The drinks are flowing. And it's just a really special place to be if you're trying
King
to
King Street will be alive on Sunday.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. From start to finish.
Yeah. I mean, dude, this has been great. It's
I'm
a pleasure.
Keep my distance.
I want to do a live podcast. We should do a live podcast from here in the next coming weeks. But thanks for coming on, Keith. Austin, you want to take us out, hit all the spots, hit the follow.
I mean, gosh,
Charleston.
I think that the three of us just did a damn good job, and a salute to Charleston, right? Because we get to talk about it. And
I'm sure there's places we missed, but guys, there's a million things to do.
Yeah. Here. It makes me realize why I love this spot. And you know, if you're fortunate enough to jump on a boat, which I know that not everyone is. So you have to, you know, every spot that we kind of just said you can drive to and hopefully park at. But anyways, so fun. Memorial Day weekend coming up. Keith, buddy, thanks for joining us.
And follow, what is your social medias?
It's Uptown Social CHS, Sharehouse CHS, and Bodega CHS.
There you go.
Awesome.
Guys, a guaranteed good at time. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Until next time, this is Pillows and Beer, me and Craig.
And I said, you know, waiting for a good day to happen, you know. Waiting around through ups and downs, you know. I just said, look,
we gotta have a good day.